Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, The Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text Number 26, No Purport. Having thus spoken, Krishna soon entered between the two Arjuna trees, and thus the big mortar to which he was bound turned crosswise and stuck between them. By dragging behind him with great force the wooden mortar tied to his belly, the boy Krishna uprooted the two trees. By the great strength of the Supreme Person, the two trees, with their trunks, leaves, and branches, trembled severely and fell to the ground with a great crash. Purport. This is the pastime of Krishna known as Damodar Lila. Therefore, another of Krishna's names is Damodar, as stated in the Harivamsa. Satenaiva namna tu Krishna vai dama vandanat goste damodara iti gopibi parigiyate. Text 28. Thereafter, in that very place where the two Arjuna trees had fallen, two great perfect personalities, who appeared like fire personified, came out of the two trees. The effulgence of their beauty illuminating all directions, with bowed heads they offered obeisances to Krishna, and with folded hands they spoke as the following words. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogims. I guess we can read that one. Tvam Adya Purusha Para Vyakta Vyaktam Idam Vishvam Rupam Te Brahmana Vidu. Krishna, Krishna. O Lord Krishna, O Lord Krishna. Mahayogims, O Master of Mysticism. Twam, you, the Exalted Personality. Adya, the root cause of everything. Purusha, the Supreme Person. Paraha, beyond this material creation. Vyakta avyaktam, this material cosmic manifestation, consisting of cause and effect, or gross and subtle forms. Idam, this. Vishvam, the whole world. Rupam, form. Te, your. Brahmana, learned brahmanas. Vidu, no. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna, your opulent mysticism is inconceivable. You are the Supreme, original person, the cause of all causes, immediate and remote. And you are beyond this material creation. Learned brahmanas know, on the basis of the Vedic statement, sarvam kal vidam brahma, that you are everything and that this cosmic manifestation in its gross and subtle aspects is your form. Purport, the two demigods, Nala Kuvara and Mani Griva, because of their continuing memory, could understand the supremacy of Lord Krishna by the grace of Narada. Now they admitted that we should be delivered by the blessings of Narada was all your plan. Therefore, you are the Supreme Mystic. Everything past, present, future is known to you. Your plan was made so nicely that although we stayed here as twin Arjuna trees, you have appeared as a small boy to deliver us. This is all your inconceivable arrangement, because you are the Supreme Person. You can do everything. Krishna, Krishna Mahayogims, Tvam Adya Purushapara, Vyakta Vyaktam Vidam Vishvam, Rupam Te Brahmana Vidu. O Lord Krishna, O Lord Krishna, your opulent mysticism is inconceivable. You are the supreme, original person, cause of all causes, immediate and remote, and you are beyond this material creation. Learned Brahmins know, on the basis of the Vedic statement, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, that you are everything, and that this cosmic manifestation in its gross and subtle aspects is your form. Ishvara Parama Krishnaha Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karna. The Krishna is the cause of everything. So then we may wonder, then, if Krishna is the cause of everything, then why should I do anything? After all, he's doing everything, so why don't I just take rest all day and let him do what he's going to do? Because he doesn't really depend on me, he's going to do everything anyhow. So actually, as Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Kalos Milokashe, well, Arjuna was asking, that my dear Krishna, that what is this form of yours, this Ugra Rupa, this horrible manifestation? So Krishna tells Arjuna, Kalosmi Lokashe Krit Pravrido, Lokansama Hartami Hapravitak, Itevi Twamnava Vishanti Sarve, Evastita Prayeshu Yoda, that time I am the destroyer of all the worlds, and I have come to engage all. Everyone is going to be engaged, except to you, the Pandavas, everyone here on both sides is going to be slain. So we happen to be in the pastime of Krishna right now, called Kala, time. And the pastime is Krishna is going to kill all of us. Therefore, it should be understood that Krishna is the number one terrorist. Because Krishna is the number one of everything, why shouldn't he be the number one terrorist also? But he's trying to terrorize us, not for the sake of his own satisfaction that he's made everyone scared. You don't love me, I don't love you either. Suffer. Ah, no, please, no. No, Krishna is doing it for our benefit. In other words, if we're living an eternal life of illusion, someone should try to wake us up. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe it's the 11th canto, it's described that Krishna had a maidservant, and the maidservant was sleeping, so he started to shake the maidservant to try to wake her up so they could be happy together. So we're that maidservant, we're asleep, and the material nature is trying to shake us, wake us up, and we're complaining. Why is Krishna so mean? He's shaking me. What is he? Because that's called incomplete knowledge. We don't realize he's shaking us through his material nature. In order to wake us up, we take it something else. That Krishna is being cruel to me, or Krishna doesn't like me, or whatever. Well, Krishna simply doesn't like to see us suffer, but we're attached to our suffering, being asleep in the material existence. So Krishna is trying to shake us to wake us up. Therefore, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. One should understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age, and disease. Because without understanding these concepts, without recognizing that these are actually our problems, then there's no impetus to make advancement in spiritual life. So, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they're naturally enlightened now, because they spent some hundreds of our years and thousands of our years as trees in Vrindavan, and they were fortunate enough to see Krishna's pastimes. And therefore, they were quite elevated in consciousness. And their conclusion is that Krishna is doing everything. But what about Narada? is Narada just a helpless robot? We have the Narada robot moving on to Krishna's direction. He didn't want to go to the heavenly planets, but Krishna told him, go, robot. And Narada said, yes, sir. And Narada was there and said, and then Krishna said, curse them. Narada said, I don't really want to curse anyone. Krishna said, do it. I told you to do it. No, Krishna and Narada and all of Krishna's devotees, they're all perfectly in harmony with Krishna. That's one of the aspects of Sharanagati. That when one makes spiritual advancement, not only accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable, and be convinced by practical experience that Krishna will maintain us, that Krishna will protect us. And then one should, at one stage, one has no interest outside of Krishna's interest. So Krishna is all good, he's all loving, he's all affectionate, and whatever he arranges is for the good of the soul, ultimately to wake him up. Of course, if the soul doesn't want to be awakened, he has a choice to play around in the material nature, but the material nature is made in such a way as to encourage surrender to Krishna. As we surrender to Krishna, then life becomes better. And as we don't surrender to Krishna, life becomes full of more suffering. So that way Krishna doesn't have to worry about each living entity try to figure out a plan for him. No, the material nature automatically makes the plan. All Krishna has to do is come and explain what the plan already is there, how the material nature works. Satvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava ivanandi mahavaho dehe dehinamavyam. That the material nature consists of the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, and when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. And each mode has its specific quality and its specific manifestation. There are activities in the mode of ignorance, there are knowledge in the mode of ignorance, there is faith in the mode of ignorance, there's so many things in the mode of ignorance. There are also diseases caused by the mode of ignorance. There's songs in the mode of ignorance, there's songs in the mode of passion, songs in the mode of goodness, and there's pure transcendental songs. Everything is divided according to the energies. So if one acts in the mode of ignorance, Krishna says, Ordvam gachiti sattvastha, madhe tishtati rajasa, jaganya gunavritista, do gachiti tamasa. So if we act in the mode of goodness, we go upward to the heavenly planets. If we act in the mode of passion, we come down here to the earthly planets. If we act in the mode of ignorance, we go down to the lower planets. And what is that? Karmana sukritasya hu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasastu palam dukam agyana tamasa palam satvam sanjayate gyanam rajaso lobe vacha pramada moha tamaso bhavato gyanam evacha. Somehow or another Krishna had to reverse the two in these two different verses. But satvam rajas satvam sanjayate gyanam. If we act in the mode of goodness, then we actually get real knowledge. Knowledge of the self, knowledge of the super self, knowledge of how material nature is working. If we act in goodness. And if we act in passion, then we become greedy. And if we act in ignorance, then we become foolish, mad, and ignorant. Sattvam samjayate jnana rajaso lobe vacha pramado. That's illusion. Pramado moha. I guess pramada was actually madness. Moha is illusion. Pramada, moha, bhavato. Satvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobe vacha. Pramada, moha, bhavato, jnanam evacha. And one loses one's awareness of things. So that's how it works. According to how we work, then it was going to a certain result. It's inevitable. and for the mode of passion, greed. If we act out of lust, greed will follow. Because if we get a little happiness from lust, then naturally we want more of it. So that's called greed. More lust means greed. And after some time, there'll be anger. We'll fall into ignorance. And we'll fall into illusion. And we'll lose our memory. And we'll think we're perfectly all right. It's all right. It's me. And then karmanasukritasya hu satukam nimralam palam. If we gain knowledge, then we'll become purified. Then we can act in such a way as become purified. And then there's some kind of happiness. Karmanasukritasya hu satukam nimralam palam. Rajasastu palam dukam. And if we act greedily, we'll become disappointed and unhappy. Everything that we're expecting out of our accumulation of some kind of material assets will ultimately disappoint us, either when we lose them or we lose our taste for them. Sukritasyahu satukam nirmalam. Karmana sukritasyahu satukam nirmalam palam. Rajasastu palam dukam agena tamasa palam. And ultimately it all winds up to be simply ignorance. Just not knowing who we are, who Krishna is, what's really going on here. Just living in some kind of dreamland that our activities have created for us, or some kind of virtual reality that's been provided by the material nature to fulfill our desire to live in some kind of virtual reality. So here the Manigriva and Kuvara, they understand that actually Krishna sent Narada Muni. That Narada Muni is perfectly in harmony with Krishna, and he wants to save devotees. He wants to save people in the universe. That's why that's his whole business. Devrees. He's a great spiritual master. Krishna sent him to save Prahlad, to save Dhruva. He just didn't happen to wander by and Dhruva said, "Hey, I need a spiritual master. Do you happen to be a spiritual master?" Narada Muni said, "Great. I think we'll make a good team. I just happen to be wandering by." But Krishna sent him because Narada wants to save conditioned souls, and especially eligible ones like Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj, the king, Pratibharachini, etc. Throughout, even Kansa, he sent him to Kansa. So many different personalities by Krishna's arrangement, because both Krishna and Narada have the same business. They have the same, they're both dovetailed with each other. Therefore, Narada is very happy to get some opportunity to do some service for Krishna. He could say to Krishna, "I'm not really interested. I have another appointment." But he knows that whatever Krishna asks him to do, it's best for him and it's best for everyone else too. It's all perfectly arranged by Krishna for everyone's eternal mutual benefit. Therefore, a pure devotee is like Narada when they get some direction from Krishna, then they're enthusiastic to do it because they know it's going to be the best possible situation for them and for everyone else. There can't be any better arrangement. So we can't really be envious of Krishna and blame him for being such a good arranger, thinking that maybe we could do better. No, this Krishna is eternally absolute, eternally the well-wisher of all living entities. He eternally makes arrangements, perfect arrangements, for everyone's benefit. The only problem is that people don't appreciate Krishna, and therefore what they do is not for their benefit. They want Krishna to make some arrangement, not for their benefit, and then Krishna makes those arrangements so they can suffer in the material world, so they can realize it's not very beneficial to make arrangements separate from Krishna. And if one is fortunate enough to believe Manigriva, Nalakuvara, that they understood that everything is perfectly done by Krishna, everyone we come in contact with was arranged by Krishna, and it's simply up to us to make the best use of it. Because Narada, he's a perfect devotee, therefore he's completely acting under Krishna's direction. And therefore, there's no problem. We're not so perfect. And therefore, sometimes we do things which are beneficial for ourselves and others, we're actually properly under Krishna, acting under Krishna's direction, and then we become proud, and we think how wonderful I am. I'm the savior of so many living entities. We become proud, and then Maya takes over and says, "Yes, you're right. You're a great soul. You don't really need Krishna so much. You don't have to depend upon him. You're too humble. You should do something to show your glories. Let others know how important you are." So in the mode of ignorance, we think ourselves to be the owners and the controllers. So even we act in passion, underlying passion, there may be still this feeling of being the controller and the enjoyer. Especially the enjoyer becomes prominent, but the controller aspect is there. And even in goodness, if it's not pure goodness, there is an aspect of gaining some knowledge and realization. But what is that knowledge and realization? It's that Krishna is the controller and that Krishna is the enjoyer. It's a little clearer, but not necessarily completely clear. And therefore, as soon as we stop humbly taking shelter of Krishna, then at once Maya takes over and convinces us once again that we're actually the controller and the enjoyer, and that we deserve, because of all the nice service I've done for Krishna, now I deserve to enjoy. Now I need a break in the illusory energy because I work so hard in the spiritual energy. Therefore, pride becomes before the fall. As soon as we think ourselves that we can take shelter of this body, of our minds, we can do what we want, what will make us happy, then the Maya will say, "Yes, very good. I got a plan for you." And then Maya has a plan for us under Krishna's direction to cause us to suffer and lament. So that finally we realize that actually I'm not doing very well independently of Krishna. Maybe I should take shelter of him and try to do something for him the best I can again. Actually take seriously, what does Krishna want me to do and how should I do it to please him? Then again we're back in the spiritual energy and we think, well, just see how easy it is to get into the spiritual energy. I'm such a great personality. And then burn and crash. Back in the material energy again. How is this possible? I'm a great devotee. I did so much for you. Why are you causing me to suffer? Why aren't you rewarding me? Well, Krishna is rewarding us. He's fulfilling our desire. But it's not a very good desire, and so we have to learn. We have to learn that Krishna will give us whatever we want. We want him to a certain extent. He'll reveal himself to that extent. And if we want him in another form of the material nature, we're still attached. He says, "Yes, try it out. Have a go at it again. See if you like it." We'll get the 2023 version of Maya. See if it's any better than the last one. And then after some time, we'll lament and cry to Krishna, "Help, save me, please save me." Krishna says, "Yes, I'll save you for a few, you know, put you back in the spiritual energy and tell you as much as you want. Whatever you want, Krishna is willing to give." So as marginal energy, we have the choice at any moment. We can choose the material energy or we can choose the spiritual energy, and Krishna will give us both because he knows they're both. Well, the spiritual energy will give us a higher taste, and if we can take shelter of that spiritual energy, then that will help us become more serious so that and try to advance in spiritual life. And as soon as we take shelter of this material energy, try to enjoy it, then we'll get slapped. And then we'll think, well, maybe there's some better alternative. And then we'll remember our activities in the spiritual energy and try to get back there again. So it's all perfectly arranged. And at the end, here we have Nala, Kovara, Manigriva. Obviously, to get to the heavenly planets, become sons of Kovara, must have done many pious activities. And therefore, Narada and Krishna didn't like to see them becoming degraded, and therefore he slapped them. So he's also slapping us, but we shouldn't one or to slap us to become trees for another 20,000 years. It's quite a heavy slap. Better to take the little mild slaps and try to apply them in our lives. Try and take Krishna consciousness seriously. So we don't have to become in danger of becoming trees or other things in this world. We can actually take advantage of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, try to act as his instrument, and then he'll send his people to, so we can do some service with them, help them also become Krishna conscious, do something auspicious in our lives. But don't think that I'm the doer, I'm the savior, I'm doing so many things, and by my mercy, so many people, by Krishna's mercy, we can do some service for him. We can act as an instrument to save others and save ourselves by doing it also. So either we can become Krishna's instrument, do something productive in his service, or we'll be forced to do something unproductive in the illusory energy service. Although so many people will praise us, all our relatives will say that finally you've gotten enlightened, you've become as big a demon as I am. I congratulate you. And so, misery loves company. So we should try to do everything in Krishna's service, that way you can become helpful, and then we'll help our relatives too. Even Hiranyakashipu was saved by Prahlad, because Prahlad didn't get deviated by his bad association with his father. Instead, he stayed faithful to his guru, Narada Muni, and therefore, ultimately, he saved his father, too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Kuala, any questions? As a super soul, if you have any questions. Kuala, Granthiraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.